Welcome back to the Word for Life broadcast. My name is Pastor Steve Sowers, in for Pastor Greg Huffman, and we've been looking at James chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. In this area of Christian atheism, even though I'm a Christian, I may live as though God does not exist. And James is confronting these believers with the reality that their selfishness and their pride is revealed in how they're living, that they're actually living with an attitude of self-sufficiency, that they assume that they have the ability to carry out their plans. He says that in verse 13, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we shall go to such and such a city, spend a year and buy and sell and make a profit." And you say, well, what's the problem with that? They're just making plans. Plans are good. Yeah, plans are good when God is involved in them. And that's the point that James is making. So he addresses their attitude of self-sufficiency. And the next thing he does is he reminds them of an important reality. In verse 14, he says this, "Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." So he says, you're living with this attitude of self-sufficiency when in fact you don't have the ability to control anything. But let me tell you how you should live. And he shares with them this reality that you do not know what will happen tomorrow. When it comes to our future, there's only one thing that we know for certain. And that's God knows it, and we don't. The only thing that we know for certain about our future is that God knows it, and we don't. So stop living like you do. You don't know what the next second, minute, hour, day, year holds. And because we don't know what the future holds, it's supposed to humble us. Did you notice that's a theme throughout the book of James? It's humility. Instead of living with pride and this self-sufficiency, we are to come humbly before our God and recognize our need of a Savior, recognize our dependence on God. And that's what this reality should do. Not knowing the future shouldn't allow us to live in fear, but it should drive us to humility. It should make us more dependent on God, not less. Being reminded of our frailty changes the way we think about life and the way we live. Think of people who are going through cancer. Think of someone that is on the verge of dying. It grabs our heart, doesn't it? You watch these things on television. They do these behind-the-scenes looks at people with these sports figures who these kids are dying, but they get to have a day with their sports figure, like Make-A-Wish Foundation and all these things. And those stories tug at our heart. Sometimes you marvel at the way these people are handling such difficult situations. And you want to know why these people live differently? It's because they live with the reality of dying on their doorstep. The reality of their last breath is right in front of them. Who gives us our last breath? Whether we're sick or healthy, it's God. And James is saying this is the way we need to live. That is the mindset as Christians we need to have every day. It's a God focus. So not only does he remind them of an important reality, he also challenges the attitude of ultimate authority. He says, not only do you assume that you have the authority to carry out your plans, you believe that you can do this on your own. It's my life. I can do what I want. That's the mindset. That's the attitude. And it's extremely wrong. Verse 15, instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall do this or that. Instead, it should be, if the Lord wills. That phrase there could be read this way, if the master wills. It carries the idea of living like you have a master. God says, you need me, and you're not even considering me. I'm the one who made you. I own you. You are mine. And your attitude is, I got it. I got it. Under control. I know what's best for me. But oh, how we need the reminder of 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 through 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you are bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We are to be characterized by being a servant. We don't own ourselves. We belong to our Creator. We have a master. Psalm 143:10 says, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness." Psalm 40, verse 8, "I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart." 1 Peter 4:1-2, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God." Are you sensing a theme throughout Scripture? That we are to live as though we have a master, which is God. John 5:30, "I can of myself do nothing." This is Jesus speaking. "As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me." Even Jesus himself submitted to God the Father. So what is the reminder to us? We exist to live and serve God. See, the problem with our thinking is, oh, I'm saved, and now I'm expecting God to serve me, right? God works for me. He exists for my pleasure. And when things don't go our way, we become bitter and angry at God. But in reality, the opposite is true. We exist for His pleasure. He created us for His glory. So James goes right after them. He says, "Listen up, you who live every day relying on your own ability and your own authority, the ones who are living like you don't need God." When we live that way, we are Christians who are living like atheists. Yeah, we recognize God exists, but we don't live like God exists. And it doesn't matter what we say about our belief in God if we live as though He doesn't exist. So James brings this to a conclusion. In verses 16 and 17, he says this, "But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin." James says, you're living this way. You're living as though you have the authority and ability to do what you want, and you're boasting about it. Once again, it reveals the pride. It reveals that they are proud. You're boasting about your arrogance. And that kind of boasting is evil. It means to seek to impress people, self-confident, arrogance over one's circumstances, and that boasting is evil. It's the same root that John uses in 1 John 2:15-16. He says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life," there it is, the root, that boasting in evil, "is not of the Father, but is of the world." I mean, Jesus said it himself. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? It begs the question, all the bragging and attaining that goes on in this life, for what? When you stand before God and you had a big house and a nice car and all the things this world glorifies, and then all of a sudden you're taken and standing before the Lord with nothing. What does it matter? James is reminding us not to be a fool. Don't live like a fool. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." And he's reminding us that fools think and live like they have the future under control, that they can affect its outcome, but the future rests in God's hands. He says it's okay to make plans, just involve God. Don't live as though you have the ability and authority to do what you want in this life, because you don't. We are actually supposed to live for a master, our Creator, for His honor and for His glory. So don't live like a fool. And then we come to verse 17, and he ends it this way: for him who knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. And really what James is saying here is he's saying, now that I have pointed these things out to you, you are without excuse. Those of you who are believers listening, who may say you believe in God but live as though God does not exist, you know what James is telling you this morning? You know what God is sharing with you this morning? Is you have been warned. You are without excuse. He's saying, I just told you everything you need to know on how to live to please the Lord. And if you don't do it, you're sinning. Case closed. For somebody who knows what to do and doesn't do it, it's sin. And if he's told you not to show favoritism, not to speak evil of one another, not to live like the world, and to get rid of pride, which is leading you to live this life of godlessness, then put it away. It doesn't glorify God. It doesn't win people to Christ. It glorifies self, and it glorifies the world. Put it away. He says, you've been warned. You will now be held accountable because of the truth that you have just heard. I warned you about favoritism. I warned you about fighting. I warned you about your selfishness and your pride. I challenged you to walk humbly before your God. So go do it. So James ends this section with a call to obedience. Go and do it. It's a call to repentance, and it's a call to faith. All that I have shared with you, go and do likewise. It is only for your benefit. Man, what a challenge to us. What a challenge for us who show favoritism, who maybe speak evil to one another, who maybe live with this selfishness, this worldliness within, that we would rather do what we want more than what God wants. I go back to James 4, verse 6. He says, even in the midst of your selfishness and your pride, understand this important truth. But God gives grace. But he only gives grace to those who are humble. He says this, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So my question to you is, will you be humble? Will you come to the Lord acknowledging your faults and your failures and that you're coming up short, and just humble yourself before him and ask for forgiveness? Because if you do, he will give it. He gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. Hope you'll join us next time on The Word for Life. Have a great day.